Thinking Outside the Cage. This is the Drive and Off-Road Friday on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Derek Gilbert at the wheel, and Monday on the Drive, we will talk about the Mohela sale. That is the Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority. You've heard about that, selling off some of the loans in order to raise money to build college buildings around the state. Is it a good idea or a bad idea? Now we'll talk with Todd Smith. He's the governor's director of legislative affairs. I think we know which side of the debate he'll be on. And then we'll also talk about the global warming issue with Associate Professor of Atmospheric Science Tony Lupo of the University of Missouri. All that Monday afternoon on the Drive, 5 to 7 on the Eagle 93.9. Now, we're joined by a journalist for the last 10 years here in Missouri, a gentleman teaching journalism at Northwest Missouri State. He's also a newspaper humor columnist and a published author. His forthcoming book is called Haunted Missouri. Jason Offutt, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Derek, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
So you have a background in writing and editing newspapers.
Yes, I was a newspaper editor and reporter for about 18 years.
Okay, and now how did you come to apply your background and experience in writing and editing newspapers to writing about the unexplained?
Well, I've always had an interest in the unexplained from when I was a small child, and people, I think, especially now that I'm a journalism instructor, faculty tend to look down on their own who write about unexplained, the unexplained. But if I write these things as a journalist, that's my field of interest, so I can write about anything I want to.
So where is your work published now?
It's published my columns. I have a couple of different columns, a humor column that's published in four different magazines, or four different newspapers, a magazine, and it's published online. My paranormal column called From the Shadows, which is based in Missouri. I just write about weird things that happen in the state of Missouri. It's published in the Independence Examiner and online.
Okay, and that is at from-the-shadows.blogspot.com?
Correct.
Okay.
And if anybody goes, please go and leave a comment. I like company.
Yeah, one thing that, and I do some writing as well, and one of the things that I can vouch for is that, a writer writes to have people read it, even if it's just a few people who leave comments at the blog. So
that's exactly what I tell my students. You're not writing this for yourself. You're writing it for somebody else.
So how long have you been doing the paranormal column?
Only since early October of 2006. My former general manager at the Examiner approached me about writing it, and frankly, I was a little bit surprised because newspapers tend not to run columns like this. But it's been extremely well received in Independence, and especially on the web. I've gotten hits from people in Indonesia, Japan, Sweden, and all across the United States who are interested in the things I'm writing about.
And that exposure kind of has a magnifying effect. You get linked from one site and then another site, and that's how people will be drawn in. I think that's why they call it the web, actually. I found your site, in fact, from a website called The Anomalist, which specializes in scouring the Internet for stories of the paranormal. Is there a lot of unusual and unexplained stuff going on here in Missouri?
You know, I didn't really think so until I started digging into it. I have a couple of personal experiences that led me to believe that, yes, weird things happen everywhere. But it wasn't until I started digging to where I found out there are all sorts of UFO sightings. One of the oldest alleged UFO crash that was covered up by the government reports in the country, even earlier than Roswell, occurred down near Sykeston. Plenty of ghost stories in Missouri. A guy a few years ago, or about 10 years ago, who tried to build a time machine in his house. That happened in Missouri also. Sometime soon, I plan to trek to Louisiana and Missouri to talk about, or to interview some people about the Missouri Bigfoot, Momo.
Yeah, in fact, yes. We talked to a reporter, Raymond Castile, a few weeks back about Momo.
Yeah, I'm really interested to get out there and talk to people, because the few people I've tracked down who've allegedly seen Bigfoot for some reason don't want to talk. People don't like to talk about this stuff occasionally. The people who do love it.
We're talking with Jason Offutt. He's a writer based out of Maryville, Missouri, and he's the guy behind the From the Shadows column in the Independence Examiner, also online. Jason, the why is that? Why are people reluctant to talk about things that they can't be easily explained?
Because they're afraid that people are going to laugh at them.
Hmm.
If you talk about something that's unexplained, talk about something out of the mainstream, people are going to be more likely to think you're a little bit loopy. That's something that Stanton Friedman, the one of the fathers of UFO research in this country, refers to as the ha-ha factor.
Yeah, it seems like every special on the History Channel about UFOs has got Stanton's face on it.
I'll give you a really, really good example. I had interviewed a police officer in Kansas City. He was retired now, so felt comfortable in talking about it. But he and his partner one night in the 1960s, it was like 2 in the morning, they stopped in a park. They were filling out reports, and all of a sudden over the car was this really bright light. They looked out, and they saw a craft, and then it sped straight up in the air. And the officer asked his partner, he said, are we going to report this? And his partner said, only if you like to talk to psychiatrists.
Hmm.
So that's one of the major issues behind people not reporting these things or not talking about them.
You think that's playing into the report of the craft at O'Hare Airport back in November, which has sort of dropped off the map here in the last few weeks?
Well, to some extent. The last few days, actually, some new photographs have cropped up, so we haven't heard the end of that yet. Pilots, however, we all have to trust our pilots, right? They're flying the planes we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to think that that our pilots are seeing things in the sky, but pilots do see things all the time. They're just not allowed to report it.
Hmm.
And so pilots may have seen this at O'Hare. I have no idea. This is just speculation on my part, but if something happened, we're not being told everything because of just the nature it was at an airport.
Jason Offutt is our guest on the Eagle 93.9 as we talk about the paranormal and the unexplained here in Missouri. Getting back to what happens here around the state, your most recent columns at your From the Shadows site and your From the Shadows column deal with a man here in Missouri who claims to have a piece of an alien craft. What is that about?
Well, as a journalist, I interview people. They tell me things. I write them down. As to the validity, I'm not sure. Bob White is a gentleman. He's 75. He'll be 76 in March. During the interview, he's extremely level-headed, very believable. So I don't doubt Bob saying what he's saying. The story behind Bob is he, back in 1985, was near the Colorado-Utah border, and he and the person he was writing with popped a hill and saw a three-story tall light. They stopped the car, turned off their lights, sat there and watched it for a while, and then he reached over and turned the lights on, and the thing shot up in the air. When it shot up in the air, it joined another light, and something fell off of the craft. It streaked through the sky and landed near where Bob was. Bob went and picked it up, and he's been trying ever since 1985 to have scientists analyze this thing because he's sure it's from a UFO, and he can't get someone to place their name on it. He can't get someone to analyze it and say, yes, this thing isn't from this Earth, because the scientists, according to him, don't want to have that on their reputation.
So these are guys saying, I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you that I can't figure out what it is?
Yes. I tried to follow that. Yeah. Yes, you mean the scientist. Yeah,
yeah,
of course. And he claims that one scientist, he was able to take it to Los Alamos, which was where the atomic bomb was developed.
Right.
And a scientist talked to him and analyzed part of it and said, some of these elements, I'm not sure what they are. They're not from this Earth. He didn't get that on record. When he talked to the guy later, the guy said, the scientist said, I never said that. I never said it wasn't of this earth. It's just it's aluminum and some magnesium. So that's all he claims to have gotten.
So it's a piece of something metallic, about 7.5 inches long, conical in shape.
It looks like, from the picture, it looks like a very long petrified pine cone.
Hmm.
It's pewter, pewter in color.
And he's been trying for decades now to get somebody to identify it and tell him what it is.
Correct.
Huh. We're talking with Jason Offutt. His forthcoming book is called Haunted Missouri. He writes a weekly column. Is it weekly, Jason?
Yes. Comes out every Wednesday.
Okay. Called From the Shadows. And our conversation with Jason Offutt continues as Off-Road Friday rolls on. This is The Drive. I'm Derek Gilbert, and you're listening to the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Like a lift kit for your brain. This is Off-Road Friday on The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
I'm Derek Gilbert. Wind chill in mid-Missouri right now, -2. That's cold enough. We're turning up the heat tomorrow. We are going to bring you the best chili in all of mid-Missouri. It's the Rootin' Tootin' Chili Cook-Off to benefit the Columbia Boys and Girls Club. Tim Murphy in the early morning. He's going to be there tomorrow as the celebrity judge. The event is 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. tomorrow. You'll find it at the Fieldhouse, 1109 East Broadway in Columbia. It's $7 at the door, but you get in and you get to sample the chili from every one of the competing teams. And you get to vote on the, decide if the judges know what they're talking about. But while Tim Murphy's there judging on the best chili in mid-Missouri, you're helping to raise money for the Boys and Girls Club of Columbia. That's the Rootin' Tootin' Chili Cook-Off tomorrow at the Fieldhouse on East Broadway in Columbia from 11 to 3 from the Eagle 93.9. We're talking with Jason Offutt. He's an author from Maryville, Missouri. His forthcoming book is called Haunted Missouri, and he writes a weekly column devoted to the unexplained with a focus on Missouri. Never knew that our state, Jason, was so such a focus of unusual and unexplained events.
We have some really weird, diverse things going on in the state. One thing that I've been trying to track down, I'm not sure if you've heard of this before, is the Missouri Mystery Mound down in the Ozarks. And the people involved with that have fallen off the map. I haven't been able to contact them at all.
The Missouri Mystery Mound?
It is allegedly the person who found it and is digging there. It's a Native American burial mound.
Uh-huh.
And he believes that it is one of the libraries of Atlantis.
Really?
And, again, I haven't been able to track him down yet, but I would really love to talk to him. His name is Charles Teague.
Anyone listening who might have a scrap of information about that, we'd appreciate a phone call at 874-9390 or 800-529-5572 from outside mid-Missouri. The Ozark Mystery Mound. Now, I've heard, Jason, of things being unearthed, dug up over in Illinois, southern Illinois, not far from St. Louis, that that look like they come from the Roman Empire, like first century Roman. Have you heard of anything like that in Missouri?
No, not in Missouri. I have heard not just the Roman, but Celtic jewelry
mm-hmm.
being dug up in the Illinois side close to St. Louis. But in Missouri, no, I sure haven't. Yet. Who knows?
Okay, so we're looking at now this... what was the... Now, the top. You brought up another topic. The guy who built the time machine over in the Kansas City area.
Well, actually, it was up closer to St.
Joseph. Right,
yes.
St. Joseph. What's the story by that? Oh, wait a second. Hey, we've got somebody from Hallsville coming in, calling in, who knows something about the Mystery Mound. Jody in Hallsville. Do you mind if we bring her in?
Yes,
Jody,
hi.
Welcome to the... is it a she Jody or a he Jody?
No, it's a he Jody.
He Jody. I'm sorry.
Right.
Welcome to the Eagle 93.9. You're on with Jason Offutt.
Hey, thank you. I'm actually the editor of the Northern Boone County Bullseye newspaper, weekly newspaper based in Hallsville. And one of our contributing columnists is Joanne Gilbert. I don't know if her name has cropped up yet in your conversation, but to me, she's the definitive expert on ghosts and paranormal in Missouri. She's written three books, Missouri Ghosts, More Missouri Ghosts, and I think More Missouri Ghosts 3. That one has just come out.
One about horses also.
Right, the horse book, and she's written another one of the Trail of Tears across Missouri. And I would imagine if anybody knows anything about the Missouri Mystery Mound, I don't know that she does, but she'd certainly be a great resource, and I think she'd be entertaining to have on sometime, too.
Well, Jody, I appreciate that tip. I will definitely do that, because that's we're just trying to do something a little different on Friday afternoons. After 3 o'clock on Friday, holding people's attention with another 2 hours of ranting about Nancy Pelosi just doesn't seem like a winning idea.
Yeah, and how about that? You got a newspaper editor calling in on a radio show, so we'll keep that between us, okay?
All right. Thanks for your call, Jody. Appreciate the help. All right, make a note. Joanne Gilbert, no relation, but she's certainly an auspicious name. So, okay. Now, getting back to the time machine at St. Joseph, that was something I read about in your column, Jason, that really caught my attention. What's the story there?
Well, it started off with Art Bell on the Coast to Coast show back in the 1990s. A guy from Stanberry, Missouri, called in to talk to Art. Stanberry is a small town a little northeast of St. Joseph, and he had a year of college, studied electronics, and had built in his house a Jacob's Ladder. A Jacob's Ladder being, do you remember the old Frankenstein movie?
Yeah, it's one of those things that goes zzz, zzz.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay, right.
Exactly. He tried to, he built one of those, and he claims when he built it, something strange happened. A little circle appeared at the top of it that wavered. You know, it's not supposed to do that. So he took a screw and threw it through the hole. It disappeared for about 2 or 3 seconds, and all of a sudden it reappeared and fell on the table.
Huh.
It gave him the idea that, well, maybe it went through time. So he wanted to build a man-sized Jacob's Ladder to see if he could reproduce this. What ended up happening is he got arrested because he needed a lot of power. So he stole 6 300-pound transformers from St. Joseph Power and Light Company, and he built this on his back porch.
Okay.
People found out about it because when he turned it on, everybody's power went down.
Yeah.
So he got arrested, spent time in jail, moved to St. Joseph, called Art again because he'd been evicted from his apartment because he tried the same thing.
Yeah, I can see where a landlord might be a little nervous about that.
A tad bit, yeah. He probably violated his lease, but he after that disappeared. He said he was going to rebuild his time machine somewhere else, and as far as I know, anyone in the paranormal community hasn't heard from him since.
Now, when was this whole thing taking place?
Took place the first time anyone heard from him was in 1995. That's when he attempted to build the time machine on his porch. And something I left out, the reason he wanted to build the time machine wasn't to advance science. He wanted to go to the future in a couple of days, get the winning lottery numbers, and come home.
Nothing so esoteric as just the pursuit of knowledge. Just wanted to win a few million bucks.
I can't say that I blame him, but that was his intent. And interestingly enough, the sheriff of the county who arrested him to begin with is still there, and some other people who were involved in the case are still in Stanberry. So I got to interview some people who were involved with the case, and the first thing they did when I brought up Mike Markham's name was they chuckled.
Mike Markham is the fellow's name?
Yes.
When did he disappear?
He disappeared in the late 90s, I think 1997.
And no one's heard from him since?
Not that I know of. I've tried to find him, tried to find him via internet, tried to call people who knew him when, and nobody knows where he is.
So maybe he succeeded after all.
He might have, or jumping in between two metal poles crackling with electricity may have done something else.
That John Doe somewhere in a morgue. Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting. We're going to continue our conversation with Jason Offutt. He is a newspaper columnist and author. He's also a professor of journalism at Northwest Missouri State University, based out of Maryville, and he focuses on tales of the unexplained and the paranormal here in Missouri. His website, Jason Offutt, that's JasonOffutt, jasonoffutt.com, and you can find his columns, From the Shadows, at from-the-shadows.blogspot.com. Bullseye.com. We'll talk about his forthcoming book, Haunted Missouri, when our conversation continues.
The ATV of talk shows. This is The Drive and Off-Road Friday on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.
Derek Gilbert at the wheel, shifting into fifth gear as Off-Road Friday continues. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Michael Savage. Friday night, usually rock and roll night for Michael. It's when he pulls out his old albums from the 1950s and actually plays some good music, kind of ditches the Motley Crue bumper music that he uses the rest of the week. Michael Savage and the Savage Nation coming up just after 7 on the Eagle 93.9. Our guest is Jason Offutt. He's an author. His new book coming out in April is Haunted Missouri, A Ghostly Guide to the Show Me State's Most Spirited Spots. Jason, you told us about your long-time interest in the paranormal and the unexplained here in Missouri. What kind of research did you have to do for Haunted Missouri?
Over 200 interviews, spending a lot of time in libraries, spending a lot of time talking with archivists at universities, basic journalistic research. And it took me about a year and a half, and I don't know how many thousands of miles I racked up driving around the state of Missouri. It's a lot bigger than it looks like on the globe.
It's only a couple inches on a side,
right,
at least on the map
right.
I've got here.
Yeah.
So you basically crisscrossed the state talking with people who have seen these things?
Right. Most of the people I interviewed are either historians who know about the building, about the college, about the battle that occurred there, and other interviews that I conducted were of people who have actually experienced something that they can't explain, whether that be a cold spot, strange feeling, actually seeing an apparition. Had some people who've had fingers in their hair. Whoops, nobody's there.
Okay. That was like something. What was that movie with the actors from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Grudge?
Did
a scene like that where the fingers were in the hair and they weren't hers. It was that was bizarre. What are the most common types of phenomena that you that people reported to you in your research?
Noises, just noises. Not seeing something, not feeling another human bump into you. Although I did interview quite a few people who had that. It's the noise. It's the, you know, you're the only person in the house. You're in the basement getting the laundry, and you hear footsteps upstairs. You go upstairs, all the doors are locked, nobody's there. Hearing doors slam when nobody else is in the house. Hearing voices when you know no one else is in the house. Those are the most common that I've run across.
Mm-hmm. Are there areas of the state that seem to be more haunted than others?
No, there's an area of the state that seems to be less haunted than others. Down in the Boot Heel area, people didn't want to talk to me. I'm not sure if it's cultural. I'm not sure. Not sure why, but I got quite a few cold shoulders down there.
No stories to report, or just nobody who wanted to comment on the stories?
No one who wanted to comment on the stories. There was one story out of Rolla, Missouri, about a creature called the Goat Man.
Goat Man?
Goat Man, which is body of a man, head of a goat, is seen running through the woods and will occasionally chase cars. I did interview someone who swears he saw it one night when he and some other people were camping down near Rolla. But when I interviewed people from Rolla and from the surrounding area, I got nothing. Which is a shame, because half man, half goat, that's pretty exciting.
You would think so, yes. Jason Offutt joins us on the Eagle 93.9. We're talking about his book, Haunted Missouri, due out in April. Have you heard anything about the ghost light or the spook light down in Joplin? One of our callers wants to know.
Oh, absolutely. I've been there. The ghost light is around at a little town called Seneca, Missouri, which is really close. It's in Newton County. You've got Oklahoma, you got Kansas, Arkansas, all of them right there, down in the bottom southwest corner of the state.
Mm-hmm.
What it is a basketball-sized light that can be white, yellow, or orange from the reports I've gotten, that comes flying in a bouncing type motion down this certain road in Newton County, Missouri. people have gone to see it since the 1800s. And once cars, I didn't, of course, interview somebody from the 1800s, but people have been down there to watch it in cars, have said that it'll dance on the hood, come through the car, disappear while it's in the cab of the car, and then reappear on the trunk and head off back down the highway, or back down the gravel road. I've interviewed probably a dozen people. Most of them have seen it at some point in their lives. I interviewed a lady who saw it in the 1920s. I've interviewed people who saw it in the 50s. I interviewed people who saw it in the 90s. The people I interviewed who've been out there a dozen times and haven't seen it still think there's something going on because of all the people they've talked to, county sheriffs, the mayor of Seneca. They've all talked to people they trust, doctors, lawyers who've gone out there, and they've seen this light. I went out there, and the strangest thing I saw was a teenage kid hood surfing at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't see a spook light, but yes, I went down there to look.
Hood surfing.
Yes, which is scary enough.
Yeah, I would imagine. How do the authorities explain the spook light phenomenon?
In, I believe it was 1946, the Army Corps of Engineers went down there to prove what it was. They had said that it was gas escaping the earth that was causing the glow. They eventually said it was just headlights from the nearby highway. The locals, of course, didn't buy that at all because those lights had been seen by the Native Americans back in the early 1800s, and no highways. No highways, no cars, no lights.
Very interesting. And what is the most unusual or striking phenomenon that you discovered in researching your book, Haunted Missouri?
That I discovered or experienced?
Let's do experienced first, then we'll talk about discovered. Yeah.
Okay, I experienced a couple of strange things. The same thing in two different locations was in 2004 and 2005. 2004, I was in the Limp Mansion in St. Louis.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah,
that is one of the most haunted places in the country. The second being Yater Hall, which is a dormitory in Warrensburg at the University of Central Missouri. Both times I went, it was in the summer. It was in the 90s. Both places where I was, on the third floor of the Limp Mansion and Yater Hall, were not air-conditioned. So walking through these places, I had sweat pouring off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I walked into a spot that was so cold, I stopped sweating, goose pimples rose on my arm, and it didn't get as bad to where I could see my breath, but still, it was so noticeably colder. And a few seconds later, it was gone. And I started sweating again. What it was, I don't have a clue. But I know it was strange.
That's commonly reported with paranormal phenomena, isn't it? It's sudden drop in temperature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
Of course, I didn't have a thermometer on me. or I could have seen just how much the temperature dropped.
Or anything to measure electromagnetic energy or anything like that, I take it.
Right, because going into this, as you've said before, I was a longtime journalist.
Mm-hmm.
So how I approached the book was not as a ghost hunter, but as a journalist, investigating the spot, interviewing people, and reviewing the history of the areas. I wasn't going in it as a ghostbuster, so I didn't prepare myself with those types of machinery.
Basically just a pad, a recorder, and a pen.
Exactly, and a camera.
Okay. Jason Offutt is our guest on the Eagle 93.9. His book, Haunted Missouri, A Ghostly Guide to the Show Me State's Most Spirited Spots. So that was the weirdest thing you experienced. What's the most unusual thing in the book, the most striking report that you investigated?
I think it's the most fun, just because it's really creepy and involves Mark Twain. Mark Twain Cave in Hannibal. It's a really neat place. If you ever go, it's open to the public. It costs $14 to get in, but it's worth it. The cave back in Mark Twain's time was owned by a surgeon from St. Louis, and this surgeon was really focused on finding a way to petrify a human body. But he didn't have the place that was constant temperature, constant humidity to do this until he found this cave and purchased it. And then he ran into the problem that he didn't have a body. Well, then his 14-year-old daughter died. So he took his 14-year-old daughter, put her in a copper cylinder that was lined with glass, filled it with alcohol, put it in this cave, in a room in this cave, and hung it from the ceiling. That's creepy enough,
yeah.
But kids of that time, Mark Twain being one of them, Twain never, he went along, but from what I understand, didn't participate in this. The kids would go in with younger kids, tell ghost stories, then wander back into this room with this body, screw it open, and pull the girl's head out by the hair. And, of course, it would scare the heck out of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the city of Hannibal, a lot of upset parents, convinced the surgeon to take his daughter out of there and go bury her in St. Louis. But just for the mere creepiness factor alone, that's one of my favorite stories.
That is pretty twisted. I can't imagine a father doing that with a child, but yeah, I can see where that would have led to a lot of legends and stories. Are there still some stories that circulate about that cave?
Well, yes. I interviewed a gentleman who was a tour guide there for a while. He stopped doing it in 2000, I believe. He was in there alone because the tour guides know their way around, so if they want to go in there, it's not frowned upon. He was wandering around just looking, and all of a sudden he saw a girl. And he thought that the girl was just a tourist who'd gotten lost, so he went to find her. And he walked back into the room in the cave that the body had been hanging from the ceiling, and the girl walked through a wall. And he later looked up in a book about the history of the cave, and that girl's picture was in there, and that was the girl that he said he saw in the cave.
Hmm.
So, interesting, creepy, lots of fun.
There are a lot more things in this world than we can explain away with our science. We're talking with Jason Offutt. His website is Jason Offutt. That's OFFUTT.com. The forthcoming book, Haunted Missouri, A Ghostly Guide to the Show Me State's Most Spirited Spots. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is Off-Road Friday, and the drive continues. You're listening to the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.
Without a map. This is Off-Road Friday on the drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.
Derek Gilbert taking the conversation in different directions here as we head into the weekend. Our guest is Jason Offutt. He is a journalism professor, in fact, at Northwest Missouri State University. He's also the writer of a weekly column called From the Shadows. And you'll find a link to that from his website, Jason Offutt, OFFUTT.com, and his forthcoming book, Haunted Missouri. Jason, the Civil War, there were more battles that took place in Missouri, I think, than most people realize. Do you find, or did you find, while researching Haunted Missouri, that there were connections between, say, battle sites or Civil War battle sites and sightings?
Yes, I did. And in interviewing people, I interviewed mediums who like to be called sensitives, who've been there at the battlefields, who've said that, yes, of course, we're going to have more activity here because of all the pain and the suffering that happened. One of those being the Lone Jack, Missouri, the Battle of Lone Jack. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah.
John Wayne, that's where he lost his eye.
Battle
of Lone Jack.
All right.
That was one of the bloodiest battles during the entire Civil War. Thousands of people fought, hundreds upon hundreds of people were killed, horses, hundreds of horses were in the city square. It was a really, really violent battle, and I've talked to numerous people who have not only seen campfires out in the area where soldiers were camping, but they've seen people standing guard in uniform, in Civil War uniform, people riding horses over a ridge that no longer exists because it's Interstate 70 now.
Huh.
That's just just one of the many examples of ghosts inhabiting Civil War battlefields.
There now, what about some of the more let's say nefarious characters in Missouri's history? Serial killers, people like that. Are there any things connected to people of that nature?
People who've killed a lot of people. There are quite a few things. There are quite a few things about Jesse James. Of course, Jesse was no hero. He was a killer. He's reported to still haunt his home, his boyhood home in Kearney, Missouri. His brother Frank, who did his share of killing, is supposedly haunting the 1859 jail in Independence, Missouri. And I went down there and interviewed people, and they said that the iron door to his cell will creak shut a lot of times when people are there alone, and I think I wouldn't want to be there alone. But serial killers, there was a guy named Billy Cook. His nickname was Mad Dog Billy Cook, and he lived in Joplin in the early 1950s. He was a hitchhiker. He was picked up by a family from Illinois, I believe, and they drove him all around the Southwest. I went through Arizona, New Mexico. He ended up killing them all, including the family dog. They were out on vacation.
Hmm.
And drove back to Joplin and dumped them down a mine shaft. He then took their car, kidnapped someone else, and eventually turned himself in Mexico. But he is buried. He was put to death in 1952 in California, and he's buried in Peace Church Cemetery in just north of Joplin, Missouri. I went out to the cemetery, interviewed a number of people about it. The cemetery is not well kept anymore. Lots of weeds. Relatively spooky to be out. I was out there at dusk. And allegedly, the dark figure of a human wanders the outskirts of the cemetery. And the reason he wanders the outskirts of the cemetery is fairly interesting about Cook, because he was not buried in the cemetery.
Hmm.
There was such a protest that nobody wanted this serial killer to be buried in the cemetery with their families, that he was buried just outside the cemetery. So lots of people think that that figure is possibly Billy Cook.
What conclusions have you drawn after researching this book and talking with people who have seen these apparitions and visions? What do you think is going on out there beyond the limits of human perception?
Exactly what, I'm not one to say. Again, I'm a journalist, but talking to people, interviewing psychics who have seen things, interviewing regular people who have seen things, who have felt the presence of a family member, who have smelled their grandfather's cologne after their grandfather's been dead for a few years, smelling his cologne by the side of their bed. There's got to be something. I've got a lot of people who ask me if I believe in ghosts. No, absolutely not. I don't believe in ghosts. Belief means you don't have any proof. Do I think something is out there that we don't yet understand? Possibly from, and this is cliche, but the other side? Absolutely. But what it is, I can't say.
Jason Offutt, the book is Haunted Missouri. When and where will it be available?
The book will be published in May. I believe May 1st is the date. It's actually available for pre-order now. There's a link on my website that you've given, www.jasonoffutt.com, or it's also at the publisher's website, tsup.truman.edu.
It will be
after May. It will be in Barnes & Noble and all major bookstores. It's also available, I believe, on Amazon.com right now for pre-order.
Very cool. And I've got a link to Jason's website going up in the show notes at my website tonight, DerekPGilbert.com. Jason Offutt, thank you for joining us today on The Drive here on the Eagle 93.9.
Derek, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'd like to do it again. Next Friday on Off-Road Friday, we're going to interview Peter Lavenda. He's the author of a three-book series called Sinister Forces, a grimoire of American political witchcraft. This book will make, these books will make your head spin. Basically, it's like the 6 degrees of Charlie Manson. It is, well, unbelievable. I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for being with us this week. Back on Monday night, Michael Savage, the Savage Nation, takes over next on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.